Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. And I'm reporting to you a little bit about the tour I just came back on with David Barton and Dr. Jim Garlow and a group of 50 people, including the Lindsays, Dennis and Ginger Lindsay from Christ for the Nations. We had a wonderful time together as we toured our nation's heritage. We started in Boston, we went to Philadelphia, we went to the battlefield sites, we saw where Washington crossed the Delaware, we went to New York, we went to Washington, D.C., where we ended on July 4th. And of course, ending there on July 4th, looking at those fireworks over our nation's capital and having just retraced the steps of how this nation was begun on the Word of God and on the Bible. And so, we're looking at these things this week and in July, our 234th birthday month. And I want to take you today to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Not Independence Hall, but the building right next door to it, Carpenter's Hall, the building in which the first American Congress met. In 1774, 40 of America's leading statesmen from across the 13 colonies, including luminaries such as Patrick Henry, John Adams, George Washington, John Jay, Samuel Adams, and many others, met in that hall to prepare for the approaching conflict with Great Britain. Now, Great Britain is the superpower on the earth, and they know that they're probably going to have to fight for freedom. That Congress opened with prayer, but according to historical records, it was not a superficial prayer like might be prayed in a public gathering today. To the contrary, it was a profound time of prayer led by the Reverend Jacob Duché, a local minister from nearby Christ Church. Christ Church is where many of the founding fathers worshiped. Seven signers of the Declaration of Independence are buried there. George Washington and Martha worshiped there. Alexander Hamilton, Dr. Benjamin Rush, and on, Benjamin Franklin. Now, on September 6th, 1774, that's 2 years before 1776, the pastor of this church, the Reverend Jacob Duché, came to Carpenter's Hall to open the first American Congress with prayer. Of that time of prayer, John Jacobs reported, Reverend Duché, unexpectedly to everybody, struck out into an extemporary prayer. Now, they were used to, in the Church of England, prayers from a prayer book, but this man prays from his heart. He struck out, John Adams says, in an extemporary prayer which filled the bosom of every man present. I must confess, I never heard a better prayer with such fervor, such ardor, such earnestness and pathos, and in language so elegant and sublime for America and for the Congress. It has had an excellent effect upon everybody here. Silas Deane, also a member of the Congress, declared that it was, quote, a prayer worth riding 100 miles to hear. In other words, he said it was worth spending 3 days on horseback to arrive in time for that prayer. He also said, and that as a result of that prayer, even Quakers shed tears. Additionally, the Congress read from 4 chapters in the Bible that morning, and as John Adams reported to his wife Abigail, one particular chapter especially impacted the group. I never saw, this is John Adams' letter, I never saw a greater effect upon an audience. It seemed as if heaven had ordained that psalm to be read on the morning. I must beg you to read that psalm. Read the 35th psalm to your friends. Read it to your father. Numerous other delegates also commented on that profound time of prayer and Bible study. A painting has been made of that prayer meeting, and there you see the minister praying, and you see all over the congregation, faces you can recognize, and you can see the members of the First Congress on their knees in prayer. That's how we began that Congress, which was deciding. And you'll want to read that 35th Psalm and see what moved upon them out of that Psalm. After meeting the first year in Carpenter's Hall, the Continental Congress then moved to Independence Hall, which served as its home for the next several years. From the Continental Congress came many of our famous founding fathers, great national leaders, military generals, and U.S. presidents. In fact, America's first four presidents all served in Congress in Independence Hall. An interesting anecdote involving one of those four occurred in 1777. John Adams of Massachusetts, who went on to become America's second president, became close friends with Dr. Benjamin Rush of Philadelphia while serving in Congress, and both signed the Declaration of Independence. Dr. Rush became known as the father of American medicine, and he had been appointed by Congress as the Surgeon General of the Continental Army, and in 1777 he traveled to the different battlefield hospitals, helping the wounded and monitoring the medical conditions before returning to Congress. At that point in the American Revolution, things were not going particularly well. America was losing many more battles than it was winning, with such a bleak prospect of success. Dr. Rush leaned over to John Adams and candidly asked if he thought that America could actually win the revolution. John Adams' answer was clear and unequivocal. He confidently replied, "Yes, if we fear God and repent of our sins." This account, unknown to most Americans today, was characteristic of the tone so often manifested within Independence Hall. In fact, during the American Revolution, the Continental Congress issued 15 separate prayer proclamations, calling the nation to times of prayer and fasting, or prayer and thanksgiving, depending on the circumstances at that time. Those proclamations were characterized by overtly Christian language. Now, this happened often with the Puritans as well. They looked to God in repentance when things were not going well. If they had a drought, if they had bad circumstances, they went before God with repentance, and then they would pray. And even the Indians were so amazed at one of these prayer meetings when the Puritans had repented. They always looked to see if they had missed it someplace, and then they prayed. The drought was broken with this nice, soft, gentle rain, and the Indians said, "Your God is much better than the ones we pray to, because they'll usually give us when we do our rain dances, we'll get thunder and lightning and storms, but you got a gentle rain." And so it was the common practice, time of the Puritans, time of the Continental Congress, to look to God with repentance and prayer. In 1787, and I'm reading from David Barton's book entitled America's Godly Heritage, which we're making available to you this week. In 1787, Independence Hall served as home to the body that eventually produced the U.S. Constitution. Yet, few today know that virtually every one of the 55 founding fathers who framed the Constitution were members of Orthodox Christian churches, and that many were outspoken evangelicals. Now, David Barton points out in his book that some people think evangelicals is a modern term. No. It was defined in Noah Webster's Dictionary of 1828. Now, Noah Webster in 1828, just think about it. Let's say 1776, that was 25 years, and then 1828, let's add another 25 years. Let's have 50 years after the Declaration of Independence. Noah Webster was asked, I don't know how many years before they asked him, because it took a while. They asked him to make an American dictionary. The only dictionaries they had of the English language were English. But they'd come to the colonies, they had words that weren't in the English dictionary. So they're Americans, and they need to have some new words put in the dictionary. So Noah Webster did the dictionary, and he said that he depended upon God to give him the definitions. That's why everybody likes that. And I was just in the Congress, and I noticed there on the Senate floor, I can't remember if it's the Senate or the House, I think it was the Senate, and there was a Noah Webster's dictionary opened. Happened to be open to the page with the R's in Revolution. I don't know who did that. But that dictionary is looked to today. Now, 55 of the founding fathers who framed the Constitution were members of Orthodox Christian churches, outspoken evangelicals. And here is Noah Webster's definition of evangelical. Quote, consonant, and an evangelical is one who is consonant to the doctrines and precepts of the gospel published by Christ and his apostles, sound in the doctrines of the gospel, orthodox. And so these men were that, founders of the Constitution. They ascribed to the precepts of the gospel published by Christ and his apostles. They were orthodox in their beliefs. Similarly, few people today know that of the 55 founding fathers who signed the Declaration in Independence Hall in 1776, over half had received degrees from schools that today would be considered seminaries or Bible schools. I'm going to tell you something that I saw at Princeton Seminary, and that's going to have to wait until tomorrow because we're coming near the time we need to sign off. Now, I do want you to get a copy for you and especially for your children and grandchildren. Get them this book, David Barton's America's Godly Heritage. We have it, making it available this week in a book form with lots of pictures, but it's also in a DVD form. And of course, the pictures are there with David and told in such a wonderful way. The book is $6. The DVD is $15 plus shipping. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 or go on billybrim.org. Now, I want to encourage you to please let us know if you can come and join us in prayer. We need you to be with us in this marvelous meeting. Oh my goodness, we now have 12,000 people joining us every Wednesday. 12,000 computers. That's many more people every Wednesday for an awakening. And we're having an awakening. We're seeing it happen. You hear the word awakening everywhere. Come and help us stay online with God for an awakening. He's doing his part, but we have to do our part. Come and join us in Branson, Missouri at the Hilton Hotel. You'll need to be registered. No cost to register, but we don't have to be registered, but it helps us if we know you're coming. Call us at 1-800-972-3447, and of course you will have to register at the hotel. That's 1-800-972-3447 or billybrim.org. Now this is Billy Brim saying to you, Shalom, shalom, and God bless America.